comes the money.
Here we go.
Money talks.
Here comes the money.
Welcome to Smart Money, where it's important to live smart by saving, being motivated, anticipate, be responsible, and be timely. I am your host, Josh Whalers, joined tonight by my co-host, Jason Summers. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Smart Money. Tonight, we're going to be talking about insurance, and we got a packed show full of market news and everything from A to Z. How you doing today, Jason?
I'm doing pretty well. How about yourself?
We're not doing too bad. The semester's really getting there. I got a couple projects, so I'm struggling a little bit. I'm on the struggle bus.
It's that time of year. Everyone, all the big papers and projects and everything kind of get down to end of year.
You got that right.
Definitely that time of year.
I'm tired. I'm struggling. But hey, we're going to get through it. We're going to fight. We'll be fine.
We'll make it through.
It's part of college, right? That's just part of it.
It's a college experience, right?
I don't think that's what they mean when they say college experience, but that's been my college experience so far at work and being always tired and always into projects, so. All right, couple announcements. Investment Club will be meeting next Thursday, November 15th, in the AB room behind the salad bar. Come out, let's talk some stocks. Yeah, that's all we do, let's talk some stocks. So that's all I'm gonna say there. A little update on our bubble event that we had today during lunch with 50 Strong. It was a great event. Thank you to Ashley Thompson, Mackenzie Ball for coming out and talking to us. It was a great event, great information. Great story. I loved being there, loving hearing their story. So thank you both for coming on and talking to us. So Jason, what do you say we jump into some market news?
Yeah, let's go ahead.
Let's do this. Let's see what the stocks are doing today. To be totally honest, I haven't had time to be checking on these today. So.
And not a lot of much going on. It's kind of, it
doesn't look like much.
Now, NASDAQ down a little bit. S&P held about even. Dow was right about even. It's kind of just a sideways day. It's not a ton going on. A lot of talk about what the Fed's doing. So
with those interest rates, right?
Trying to decide what they want to do with interest rates and stuff like that. S&P was on a 3-day winning streak, but not the day.
Yeah, it is what it is, I guess. Let's see what we got. Let's talk some individual companies. Let's see, Tesla. Tesla's green, going up. After hours are down 60 cents, but they're up 3 points. Ending at 350, so 350 a share. They are riding a wave right now, very high wave.
Well, I mean, you see a profit coming out, and people are starting to see success of the Model 3. I mean, it's having a lot of good momentum behind it as far as being an electric car. That's a luxury car, too. It's selling really well, so.
But talking Tesla, I was running the other day, and a Tesla drove past me in Bluffton, Ohio. Mm-hmm.
The blue one?
Yeah, the blue one. Do you know who drives the blue one?
It's an employee here, actually. Okay. Mm-hmm.
I was so surprised. It's like, I'm a little Bluffton, Ohio. What? I was kind of surprised, but they are moving around, and especially the Model 3, though.
Oh, yeah, it's a popular car. They're finally starting to actually be able to produce them. So now that they're able to ship them and people can still order them and everything and actually get them in decent time, it seems like it's working out for them. So. Yeah.
Let's see what else we got here. What else we got? We got Apple. Look on the red here. They're down not much, 73 cents. they didn't take it. They're up though from what they ended at like last week or so. There, well, what's their week? I think they're up from where they were last week. Around. Yeah, they're up. So, I know the last week they were under 200 or close to it. So they're up a little bit. What else we got? Microsoft is down, not much though. Not much really happened, did it?
Nope.
Pretty steady.
Yeah, just like I said.
Little losses, little gains.
Yep, sideways day. Not much going on. Not much going up. Not much going down.
Amazon, not much either movement. 58 cents. So, yeah, it was pretty even day. Got a little green. Johnson & Johnson is up not much, though. So, overall, pretty steady day on the market. So, let's talk some news quick. I found some interesting articles to talk about tonight. I'm kind of excited to talk about these. Which one do you want to go with first? You pick one. Should we do with the election since, with Michigan? Should we talk about that first?
Sure. Yeah, we can go there.
Since, we'll start there, I guess. So anyone that doesn't know, we had our elections Tuesday. So for all of you that went out and voted, thank you. Way to, use those rights and get out there and vote. The voters of Michigan have decided to legalize recreational use of marijuana. What do you got to say? I don't know.
I mean, this is
our neighbor up north now has recreational use of marijuana. I think all the Buckeye fans just got a little happier for Well, stayed up north.
Speaking of Buckeye fans, the probably the funniest thing that I saw joke-wise along with this was someone saying now when OSU beats Michigan, they can go back up and smoke some weed to get rid of the pain or something. So that was a joke of it. But no, I mean, it's interesting to see. I mean, there's a nice map on this. This is a Bloomberg article here, but there's a nice map in there that shows which states have legalized it for recreational, which ones have medical marijuana, and then which ones have no access at all to where it's just completely legal. It's a pretty interesting map.
What is it? Michigan becomes the 10th state to legalize recreational use. I think that's the headline right there.
Yeah. And Ohio, us here, we have medical marijuana, but not recreational.
Yeah.
So. I don't know why. For some reason, I thought that was supposed to be on the ballot, and it wasn't. So, I don't know. I think I just kind of made that up in my head thinking that it would be, but...
I believe it was... Was it on the past ballot, potentially? I think it was on a ballot a while back. I don't think it was supposed to be on the one for this time around, but...
Gotcha.
What's this? They're saying sales are estimated to start in 2020 and can grow as much as $1.7 billion in the coming years. Oh, man. The marijuana market is a very volatile market.
It's a lot of weed.
That is
wow.
A lot of plants right there. Yeah. It's slowly growing, though.
It is. I mean, this is a pretty big market. A lot of people are speculating on as to where a lot of people buy. It's in Stash has the option of a cannabis, like it's kind of like an ETF mutual fund type thing, and a lot of people are betting on that and everything, kind of speculating on it, seeing what marijuana happens. So I mean, it's interesting seeing. I mean, there's some companies come out with some good ideas and stuff. Constellation, the ones who make Corona and Modelo, they bought a company that makes marijuana infused beer. So you can even see some big moves from some of the players where they may have been worried about people going to stop drinking our beer if they have weed. They're like, hey, let's kind of hedge our bets here.
We're infusing beer with marijuana.
Oh, yeah.
We have to go to some science here with this. So beer, a depressant. What's marijuana? Where do you classify that? Is that a depressant as well?
I technically think so.
Is it?
I am not a marijuana expert.
No, neither am I.
All
you science people out there... Do some research, come back to us and let us know. I feel like that you could have some health mixing with beer, potentially. Maybe not.
I'm sure they know what they're doing, but
that's true.
I don't know.
Maybe you get in the chemistry of like marijuana, you know, because you know medical, you take out like, what is it, part of the gene of the marijuana to make it medical? I don't know. What's it called?
THC?
Yeah, that. Mm-hmm. Take that out and then it becomes what, medical or something?
I mean, it has some purposes some patients use it for Parkinson's to kind of stop tremors and stuff like that. So, I mean...
Maybe do that with beer. When you put in beer, you just, like, change up the...
I think for beer, they're not looking for the medical part. They're just looking to get high and drunk at the same time. So,
well, I'm just saying that, you know, they change up the formula in the marijuana. Maybe you change up the reactant. I don't know. I'm just speculating.
Your guess is as good as mine. I am not a consumer of the product, so.
All right, well, why don't we move on to our next article? Let's go with the Business Insider, all about the companies and the holiday party, since we got, you know, holidays, December isn't too far away already, because Thanksgiving is two weeks away?
2 weeks, yeah, Thanksgiving.
So.
And let's take a second here. Thanksgiving comes before Christmas. Acknowledge Thanksgiving, folks.
Thank you.
And then move on to Christmas. That's all I ask. It's not a big ask. That's all I ask.
I agree with that. I'm tired of walking to the store and seeing Christmas stuff already.
Christmas music? I like Christmas music, but Thanksgiving.
We need Thanksgiving music. All we got right now is Charlie Brown.
Is there such thing?
Well, we got the Thanksgiving. I don't know. It's not really Thanksgiving. You kind of associate it with Thanksgiving, but I don't know if you really call it Thanksgiving. But what if any music people out there, can you create us some Thanksgiving music all about giving thanks and contentment? Get us some Thanksgiving music to play. I don't know what it'd be, but
I'll have to check my Spotify, see if there's a Thanksgiving playlist.
But I agree with you. We need to please recognize Thanksgiving before Christmas. And can we slow down a little bit? Yeah. It's never going to happen because stores want to make as much money as they can, but still, can we slow down a little bit?
Yeah. But yeah, anyways. No, this article's saying a lot of companies are holding off on holiday parties.
They are.
So what go into that. I want to hear your kind of thoughts on this.
So before I get my thoughts, so companies aren't hosting holiday parties this year, mainly because of the Me Too concerns. So they're feeling better. Companies are feeling better about the economy, but many aren't holding holiday parties because of concerns about the hashtag MeToo movement. According to a new survey, only 65% of companies surveyed say they are holding a holiday bash this year, the lowest percentage since 2009. So honestly, I'm not, like, I'm a little surprised, but I'm not that surprised. But I don't think of a hot, because when I worked at the bank, you know, we had a holiday party, but it wasn't like a open bar and, you know, you're going to go get drunk and do something stupid kind of a party. It was like more of a gathering. They brought in an entertainer. You sat down with your, you know, family and around a table and had dinner with your other coworkers. And so I kind of understand this, but I don't understand it.
I say it because, so I went, when I was interning at Marathon, they have a holiday party every year.
Okay.
And that one's more, I would say, party-like, to where they had it at the University of Findlay in their gym. And I mean, there was a DJ there. There was open bar. But I mean, it was still a real classy event. Like, I mean, everyone was dressed up real nice. I mean, people weren't getting, like, obliteratedly drunk. Like, people were...
Yeah,
casually.
When you,
drink,
say, when you say that, I could kind of, see this article now.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably fair. I mean, for some people, I mean, with HR departments and stuff, that I mean, is it easier to just not have to worry about in the first place?
Maybe. They'll just cut the holiday party out. They don't have to deal with any legal matters. No one, you know, doing something dumb, and maybe they'll just hike up the bonus a little bit. They don't have to pay for a caterer or a DJ or alcohol. They'll just give a nicer bonus.
Yeah,
so have your own holiday party.
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed it. I mean, Kira came with me. It was great. I mean, you got to spend some time with your coworkers outside of work and have some fun and stuff. But, I mean,
Part of me wishes we didn't have to deal with this stuff. Like, I wish people were just...
People would just, like, behave and act like you are a decent human being.
Yeah, and be smart about it. But it's very interesting that no more holiday parties for, what, 60-some percent of companies?
Yeah, food for thought.
Yeah. All right. What else we got here? We got, where do we want to go? You want to go IBM or you want to go about the borrowers? You want to go about the thermometer? Which one do we want to go with?
Let's go with the student loan ones. We didn't got a ton of time here, so we'll hit this one.
Where are we at on time here?
Over, like usual.
Oh, yeah.
So
to Josh and Jason's world.
This is a Forbes article here saying 40% of borrowers may default on their student loans. So it's basically just an article here about containing latest student loan debt statistics. It's pretty well known. The $1.5 trillion mark was hit. And here it says the average graduates class 2016 owed $37,000 in student loans. Average grads of 2017 are at $40,000. So you see a nice $3,000 increase there year over year.
And you were going through this right before the show started, and I just saw this bullet point, and I don't get this. It takes 19.4 years on average to pay off student loans. That doesn't make any sense.
And so let's use that average there. So if you got $40,000 of student loans, you're telling me it takes you 19 and a half years to pay off $40,000?
You go and buy a house for $150,000 and pay it off in 15? This makes no sense, people.
No, it doesn't make sense. And I think a lot of it is people have their priorities in the wrong places to where, and it's anymore, there's kind of the, student loans, I'll be paying on those forever type things, to where people almost think it's funny to say that. But I think a lot of it's becoming to where it's like, why would I pay off my student loan? I'm going to have it forever. It's becoming kind of like a expectation almost, instead of a joke now, to where it's like becoming a reality. And it's not a cool thing.
It's becoming normal, and normal is broke.
Yeah,
it's like, I'm just going to always have these. They're always going to be around. I'm always going to have to pay these year after year. Yeah. No. That's not reality. Reality is you walk across the stage, you get a job. It may not be in the field of study that you did. Go out and get a job and start paying on these things. That's reality. Don't walk off the stage and go to the car lot and get yourself a new car and be like, I'm going to go spend a bunch of money now because I have a brand new nice job and I have money and I didn't get to have any fun in college because I was always studying and doing this. I bet you had plenty of fun. It's time to put the nose to the grindstone and start paying off some student loans. 250,000 borrowers default on their federal student loans each quarter. 250,000? That's crazy.
Yeah, it says 40% may default by 2023.
Like, I says may default.
And my favorite in here, and favorite, you can take that sarcastically, is 32% of borrowers with a balance of $5,000 or less. So you have less than $5,000, and 32% of people with less than $5,000 in loans will default. That is pathetic. And as us, as taxpayers that guarantee these loans, because that's what it is. As taxpayers guarantee these federally insured. Yeah. By federally insured, it means, hey, we insure it as taxpayers. It makes us the idiots. Like, oh, hey, I just had to guarantee someone's loan that was under $5,000 and defaulted. Yeah. Are you kidding me? That's sad.
This is crazy. I like the three smart ways to pay off student loans: student loan consolidation, refinancing, and make an extra payment. The one I'm going to agree with is make an extra payment. Consolidation, you might be paying more than what you actually ended up with. They'll lower your interest rate, and then you consolidate them all, and then you're actually paying longer and paying more. Don't do that, people. Keep them separate and get a debt snowball going. Refinancing wouldn't be my first choice. Like I said, my first choice is a debt snowball. Refinancing might get you a lower interest rate, but you know, depends on how it's written, and you might get screwed over anyways.
Yeah. Interest rates are going up anyways. You don't want to mess with that.
So Jason and I've talked. You either make an extra payment and start a debt snowball. That's how you're going to pay them off.
Yeah, what a wild idea. Who would have ever thought to make an extra payment? Wow, that's rocket science, man. That's like...
I know, it's so simple that no one thinks of it nowadays. All right, I think we're in the mood for what grinds your gears. Jason, what grinds your gears?
I'm going first here.
Yeah.
All right. So, well, mine...
You want to set it up first and then I'll start the timer?
Oh, I mean, mine's... should be relatively quick. I hope so, at least.
You want a minute?
Sure. Go for it. Huh?
You got to set it up, or you know, you think?
Mine doesn't really have a setup. My setup, we had our election this week that we kind of touched on already. Yeah. And it always tends to seem to bring out the worst in people. Yeah, to where, I mean, mine is on the political divide, to where people just, they instantly see, oh, if I'm this and you're not that, you're garbage. I can't be friends with you, or I'm going to start calling you names because you're X, Y, or Z. I'm going to call you a mean name because you're not aligned with me. And it's just sad. It really is. Just because someone has different opinions from you doesn't mean you should yell at them and call them an idiot or X, Y, Z, whatever you want to call them. I mean, sit down and have a conversation with them. Maybe you'll understand where they're coming from. Maybe they'll understand where you're coming from. If you ever have a conversation with someone, how are they going to understand your point? How are they going to understand theirs? It's a two-way street. It should be a conversation, not just a dialogue between you and yourself and not listening to anyone else. And I mean, you see a lot of people who will say, I will never be friends with a Republican, or I'll never be friends with a Democrat. And it's on both sides. It really is. And there's some people. There was a guy here at Bluffton. It was Cody Dolenbaum, my RA, last year. And, well, 2 years. And he was we didn't see eye to eye on some things. And there's times where we'd sit outside in the hallway and just talk for like an hour. And then we'd say, hey, want to go up to Luke's, grab a beer? Yep. And we'd go up there and we'd hang out. I mean, just because you have different opinions on stuff doesn't mean you can't have a civil conversation and be friends and understand each other. So, yeah, no, that's pretty much all I got. Just be good people. Have your opinions and factually based opinions, but...
I agree with that. I always... It frustrates me too that... Nowadays, you can't sit down and have a political conversation with someone. You can't ask a question or you get your head ripped off. I always go back. I took AP U.S. History in high school. I always go back to George Washington. When he left office, he gave us three things. One of those three things was don't form political parties. He left not a month later. Actually, not an hour later, we formed political parties. Back then, what it was, the Federalist. I don't remember the other one. I'm drawing a blank. I'm too tired to think of it. But they formed it over a bank. They had... political parties over the national bank. One wanted a bank, the other didn't want a bank. Mm-hmm. And now it's just evolved, and now we have... So now you can't have differing opinions. You can't vote. You vote for the Republican, and you have to have all the same views as Republicans, and you can't differ and have a view of a Democrat and all this. You know what I think we need to do? Just get rid of them. Just get rid of them. Have political leaders in there running for office that have their own views. I want people in there that have their own views and haven't been shaped by a political party and are up there forming a stance around something that they don't believe in and trying to pass something. So that's what I'm going to say about yours before I get too far into it and say more than you did.
But let's go on to yours. What you got?
Jason, greed grinds my gears. Like last week, we talked about emergency funds and being wealthy and doing nice things for people. And nowadays, you just see companies, and you can't trust anyone. When I say trust, I mean I'm gonna take my future profession as a financial advisor. It's hard to trust a financial advisor nowadays because you don't know if you're getting screwed over because they're just trying to sell you something and get some commission. A large company, why do I sell you a nice product? And, you know, they just want to make money. And
yeah,
just greed, just stop having greed. Do some nice things for people. Be content with your life. Don't be greedy. Don't have to try to get as much money as you possibly can. And, you know, be a nice person. Save up some money. Be content with life. I don't think we need all the programs that we have now from the government. If we take control as citizens and start helping out neighbors, help, you know, food, I don't know, help, give them some money to get from work and back. Help your fellow U.S. citizens out. We're just me all the time. I want this. I want that. Stop being greedy and start helping people. Sometimes it's not even money. It's time. Give some time up. Give some money up. If you can, that first line in your budget is giving. Maybe you put a person in there on that line under that column. And you, for this week, this person needs some help. We're going to give to this person. And it's not a loan. You are giving them a gift. And as people, when you give it, say, pay it forward. Don't pay it back. I'm giving it to you. Pay it forward. Do it for someone else. Know that it is a gift and that you want them to pay it forward because you're trying to get them out. And then when they're well, they're going to pay it forward. And you just start a chain reaction. When we were in, when I was in Luther League in high school, we go to a restaurant and it's as simple as picking up someone else's tab.
Yeah.
That can start a real chain reaction that might, you know, go on for as long as your waitress or waiter is there. They're like, man, I came in my first hour here. Someone paid someone else's tab and it just went on and on. And people kept paying each other's tabs. People, stop being greedy. Start helping one another. It's a little small reaction that might start some serious change in the U.S. So that's all I'm going to say on that. You got anything to add?
No, I said move on old to Say What.
Say What?
There we go.
There we go, yeah. So this week on Say What, we're going to talk some home equity line of credit, some HELOCs. Jason, what do you think about HELOCs?
Don't do it.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, some people really want to do them. And you know why they want to do them? My gears on greed, but this really, I don't know. I should have talked about home equity line of credit, why people are getting home equity line of credit. Here we go. So this was a study done, and these were the good reasons thought that people had for borrowing on their home equity. Debt consolidation, 44%. Covering educational costs, 31%. Paying regular household bills, 15%. And making investments, 12%. What?
Wow. Not smart.
Paying regular household bills? If you can't make regular household bills, we need to make a budget, bring it back, and start looking at what we have going out each month. 15% of people find taking the equity out of their house to make household bills is a good thing. What? What?
Yeah.
No.
I find it surprising. Making investments, too. I'm going to borrow on my house so I can gamble it in whatever you're going to put it in, and maybe it works out, maybe it doesn't, but I'm going to put my house on the line for it.
Yeah, do they forget that on a home equity line of credit, your house is collateral?
Yeah.
I think they're forgetting this.
That's the home part in home equity line of credit.
Yeah, that's the home part. That's the
first word you think they would get it, but... Huh.
Oh, what's... According to the survey, lower income respondents, less than $30,000 annually, were almost two times as likely than those earning $50,000 to $74,099 to consider acceptable to use home equity loans for daily expenses. What? What?
Well,
this is just a crisis right here. This is just I don't even know what this is. I don't know. I'm just in complete awe right now.
Yeah. Well, and it's kind of nice actually that with the new tax bill that went through, the good part is so before you used to be able to write off your interest you paid on your home equity loan for no matter what it was for. So you could say you were going to take a trip. Instead of just paying for it in cash, you could take out your home equity line of credit, pay for your trip with that, and then write off the interest. And people thought they were being smart doing that. Under the new tax bill, it has to be for specific things. I think it says it has to be for buy, build, or substantially improve the taxpayer's home. That's the language in the bill. So no more taking vacations or buying cars with your home equity line of credit being write it off on your tax return.
So 3% would fund a vacation with them.
Yeah, not a good
1% would fund a boat purchase.
Bought a boat with my house.
And a small fraction, less than 1%, would even use a home equity funds for plastic surgery. I am just in complete awe. And the other... substantial home improvement. Why can't you cash flow a home improvement? Why is a home improvement so important that you would take the equity out of your home to do it? Why would you, you know, do a kitchen renovation and put in a new island and a, I don't know, some receding lights. I don't know.
Yeah, you got to put in your can lights and backsplash and all that.
I need a new subway tile backsplash and a waterfall countertop, granite. Stop, people. Please stop. Don't, no.
I must have missed that part on Fixer Upper. I don't think I heard Chip and Joanna talking about home equity loans.
I don't think I heard of that either. I don't remember that at all. This is ridiculous. I have nothing to say on this. Please, cash flow things. Make a budget. Don't use a home equity line of credit for your daily expenses. If you're having trouble making daily expenses, pull it back. Make a budget. See where you're at. Cut some stuff out. Get a second job. Make it work. Don't take it. Don't put risk on your house to do that. That's just not smart.
Yeah, and I guess when you look at big picture, the why behind it, like why do you want to get your house paid off? Why do you not want to have debt on your house? It's that way. If something happens and you have an emergency or whatnot or whatever it is, something happens in life, if your home is paid for, you have a place to stay, place to live, and you don't have to worry about it. I mean, it's the ultimate security there is. So you're really looking for security for you, your family, and give it to your kids, leave a legacy, do whatever you want to do with it. But I mean, putting something that's that important and life-changing just on as collateral on a loan like this to go out to eat or whatever your daily expenses are, it shouldn't be worth it. It really shouldn't.
Yeah. Well, why don't we take a quick break here, really quick break, and we'll come back and we're going to start talking insurance. And we're going to talk insurance terms, definitions, and we're going to talk about what are the good types of insurance to have and bad types of insurance. You're listening to Smart Money on 96.1 The Wit.
96.1 The Wit.
All right, Jason. Let's jump into some insurance.
All right.
So, for all the listeners out there, I'm not an insurance expert. Jason, are you an insurance expert?
I am not, and I'm not going to claim to be either.
All right. So, for our help, for everyone out there listening, we're going to go over some terms and definitions so we can get on a good foot here before we jump into everything insurance. So, first definition is a premium. This is the amount of money you pay an insurance company for an insurance policy. Depending on your policy, you might pay your premium monthly, quarterly, or annually. A lot of factors determine how much your premium is, but you can generally keep your costs down by getting a higher than normal deductible. And like last week we said, with an emergency fund, you can afford higher deductibles if you have an emergency fund, which is super important. So you can keep those, keep those premiums down and deductibles high, and yeah, so you don't have to pay so much quarterly, monthly, or annually. The next definition is a deductible. This is the amount of money you have to pay out of pocket before your insurance company pays their portion. For example, suppose you selected a car insurance policy with a $1,000 deductible. If you get into a car accident that causes $2,000 worth of damage to your car, you will just have to pay $1,000 toward the repair before your insurance kicks in. So there's that one. Copay or copayment. Regarding health insurance, a copay is the amount you pay every time you need a specific type of service, such as an office visit. Usually your copayments do not contribute to your deductible. Liability, this is the part of your insurance that covers other people's cost if you are at fault for an accident that caused them injury or damage to their property. Let's say you're renting an apartment and you actually started a kitchen fire that destroys your neighbor's property. It'd be up to you to replace their stuff, not your landlord. Declarations. This is your formal proof of insurance, also called a certificate of insurance. Your declarations page is a document that contains information such as the effective dates of the policy, premium, deductible, and copay amounts, liability limits, the amount of coverage, etc. Claim. A claim is just a request for payment or reimbursement from your insurance company. If you're involved in a car accident, for example, you'd contact your auto insurance company as soon as possible. Their phone number should be listed on the front of your insurance card. To file a claim, you'll have to provide information about yourself, the incident, and personal context of everyone involved. Your insurance company will process the information and follow up with you about the next steps to receive reimbursements for any damages. So, yeah, those are basic terms and definitions, which I knew most of those. So.
Yeah, most of those are used in pretty common everyday language. So, it's good to know. I mean, a lot of people will have the kind of like shame to where if you don't know what a deductible is, you don't want to really ask and sound dumb. So, it's always good to just have a little reminder. So,
all right. And a good point there, especially with like car and home insurance, like higher deductibles, get that emergency fund, like we Jason and I touched on last week, get that emergency fund settled, get those higher deductibles so you can have lower monthly payments, transfer some of that risk back to yourself, and transfer larger risks onto your insurance company. So that's super important. But let's jump into car insurance, which I don't know, it's we all have to have it. So that's like top of the list right there. You got to have car insurance because you got to get, you know, around to place, point A to point B. So you got to have car insurance. If you don't have car insurance, yeah, that's a large fine, I think.
Yeah, you got to at least have liability there. Like you said, liability. You got to at least cover other people.
Yeah.
And then you can put collision or whatever you want on yours. That way, if you get an accident, it'll cover yours as well, not just the other people. Yeah, no, pretty big fine, though, for driving without insurance.
I'm looking at a Dave Ramsey article, and it said the 2014 combined average auto insurance premium was $980 per year. Whoa.
That's under $100 a month.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you'd be right. But it's a lot.
It's not cheap.
That's not cheap right there. That's,
yeah. You know what else isn't cheap?
What isn't cheap?
Replacing your car.
That is very true.
Especially paying someone else's hospital bills or your own hospital bills.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, premiums are based on deductible, your age, the make and age of your car, your driving history, the state you live in, and the type of insurance you purchase. So, a lot of factors that go into that. I know most people check on insurance before they even purchase a car, see what it's going to cost them to drive that around.
Yeah, different cars, different insurance. I mean, if you're driving a two-door car that's a sports car, it's going to be more expensive than, you know, your four-door midsize sedan family car.
Oh, yeah.
So... Food like for thought, though.
Yeah, like you said, though, there's liability, comprehensive, and collision. So liability, like you said, covers other person's expense if the accident is your fault. It says you should choose at least $500,000 worth of liability coverage for property damage and bodily injury to save yourself from bankruptcy in the case of an event. So if you're looking at your insurance coverage limits such as $250,000/$500,000/$250,000, it means you have $250,000 of bodily injury per person, $500,000 bodily injury per accident, and $250,000 of coverage for property damage per accident. So, liability is very important. Just in case, you never know what happened. I think the insurance is one of those things. Is you hate paying it because I was reading one article and said some people go insurance broke because premiums are so high and. We have to have so many types of insurance, and you almost go insurance broke. But it's so important to have. You pay it all these months, and you're like, man, why do I got to keep paying this? And then something happens, you're like, whoa, I'm glad I have that. So it's one of those things that you just kind of suck it up, and you hope you never have to use it, but you're glad when you do have to use it.
Mm-hmm.
So keep that liability high in case something is your fault, and you know your financial tree doesn't get destroyed through an accident, and you know you can cover whatever happened. So comprehensive, this coverage kicks in to repair or replace your car if it gets stolen or damaged by a fire, storm, falling tree branches, or other natural disasters. I think that's the last part there is important, natural disasters.
Yeah, well, and that's one of the ones you have to really look into, I mean, pretty well, because there's a lot of them where it'll cover hurricane damage, but it won't cover the flood, stuff like that. So, I mean, just you got to kind of look into the fine print and ask some questions, too.
And always shop around, get multiple quotes, and dive into them a little deeper. Always go, what do I want? Insurance broker? Like someone that deals in multiple companies?
Someone who sells multiple companies' insurance, not just like a captive agent who sells just State Farm, for example.
State Farm, Progressive, mm-hmm. all those. Go to someone that looks at all of those companies and can get you multiple quotes at the same time, and you can compare apples to apples. The last thing we'll say on car insurance is collision. This coverage repairs or replaces your car if you're in an accident with another vehicle or object or even yourself, no matter whose fault is at fault. Keep in mind that someone else's liability coverage will only cover your expenses if the other driver is at fault, and that's only if they have enough liability insurance to cover you. So have some collision in case the other person, you know, is driving around with a really low liability and can't cover you. You have collision that can get your car fixed. So I think that's all we'll say about car insurance. You got anything else to add, Jason?
Nope, good to go.
All right, what else? Let's move on to renter's insurance. Now, renter's insurance is like one of those things that I feel like it's overlooked. Like, people don't think about it.
Oh, it's extremely overlooked. Most people don't even care.
It's overlooked, but it's super important. But so, for any of you that don't know, renter's insurance is insurance if you're insurance on your stuff if you are in a place that isn't yours, such as an apartment. So it takes care of if something happens. Let's say there's a fire and the building gets burned down and all your stuff is in the fire, but the landlord's insurance isn't going to replace your stuff. It will only replace the building. So you need to have insurance that will replace your personal property, replace items including electronics, clothing, furniture, etc. And then in case someone, I don't know, trips and cracks their head on a coffee table, you need to have liability coverage. So in case someone gets hurt or you need, you know, you damage another person's property and pay for the medical bills. So,
yeah. Yeah, and that too, the part about your landlord won't cover your stuff. It's not because my landlord's a mean guy or X, Y, or Z or whatnot. It's just if you have to have an insurable interest in order to insure something, and your landlord has no insurable interest in your couch or your bed, he can't. Him or her, whoever it is, they can't insure your stuff because they have no insurable interest. Yeah. So it's one of those things that's on you. I'm sure they'll probably have insurance for their building, like you said, physically, but the stuff, that's all on you.
Yep. Let's see. Cover additional living expenses. This covers costs if you're at fault for damage that makes your space that you rent uninhabitable. So I don't even know what an example would be there.
I guess if something catches on fire and condemns the building or something like that, I don't. Mm-hmm.
Like we said, we're not experts, but we're going to give you the best advice we can. I missed this part. It's fairly cheap, and the current average cost of renter insurance is $187 per year. Depending on your location, the average monthly range is between $15 and $30 per month. So, it's very cheap. I don't even know what to compare the cost to per month. It's
about good pizza.
A good pizza?
Yeah. That's not like Padrone's pizza. I'm sorry, but I'm not a big fan. But like a Luke's pizza, like $20 a month.
I was going to compare it more to like, it's about the cost of your Apple Music subscription for a family.
There's two types of people in the world.
Yeah, you got that right. All right. Pro tip, you can bundle your car and renter's insurance and receive up to a 14% discount depending on the agent or company that you go with. So look into that. Try to get as many discounts as you can. And like we said earlier, shop around. Go to an independent insurance agent, and that can get that, you know, can get you the best value and best policy. So let's move on to our next type of insurance, health insurance.
Everybody's favorite.
Yay. Don't we just love health insurance? In 2017, the average monthly cost or premium health insurance for an individual was $393 for an individual and $1,020 for a family. Woo. That was monthly.
There. That's up there.
That is up there. Poor family. So.
Yeah, and I mean, that's including the Obamacare products that are offered and everything, which I mean, it's everyone knows, not trying to get political here or anything by any means, but just common fact, they're expensive. It's no shock to anyone. But that's one where check your employer if at all possible.
Check your employer. But we were actually talking about this, and I'm going to bring in some class time into this. Mm-hmm. So we were talking in intermediate microeconomics about price discrimination, also known as like elasticity discrimination. Elasticity is your demand or willingness to pay for something. So let me give a quick example. So my elasticity or willingness to pay for a Samsung phone is very low because I am a very hardcore user of Apple products. So my elasticity or demand for a Samsung product, Samsung phone, I should say, is low, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to health insurance, I almost got myself off topic. I almost forgot what I was about to say. When it comes to health insurance, especially insurance within a hospital, you get health insurance and you have certain people that you can go to because providers, I should say. And we found that it's very important to have health insurance. You get, because when you have health insurance, you are with a bunch of group, and that company can go to the hospital and bargain you a lot lower price for a procedure than you can as an individual, which is also known as buyer power. Oh, yeah. Insurance company has a lot higher buyer power than the individual does. The insurance company is a better negotiator than the individual when it comes to the hospital, when it comes to negotiating a price for a procedure at a hospital. So even though it's expensive, we were looking at prices of procedures depending on with or without insurance, and it's better to have insurance than not to have insurance. So always look in and get you health insurance. One tip for health insurance, you can use health savings accounts. It can save money on health insurance. It's usually bundled with high deductible health insurance plans, though.
It has to be legally.
Yeah.
So that's where you'll have, this will be usually if your employer offers something, they'll call it like a classic plan.
It doesn't have to be employer, actually.
It doesn't.
You can go and personally get one as well.
Mm-hmm. And, but it usually, I mean, there's the option where you can do the high deductible or low deductible. These have to go with the high deductible plan. There's some really great benefits to them, too.
Especially with employers. Some employers, if you do the health savings account, they will match if you reach certain health standards.
Mm-hmm. Or even just go, a lot of them, if you go to your wellness visit once a year, they'll give you X amount of money. Just put it in there for you. Saying, hey, thanks for going to your wellness visit. Here you go.
Yeah. So look into those. They can help out and lower that health insurance cost, so you're not paying a lot of money per month for health insurance. I was looking for, I had a thought. The HSA will allow you to contribute and withdraw money tax-free and qualifies you for a tax deduction as well. So, hey, there's a lot of perks when it comes to HSAs.
Yeah, HSA. I mean, a lot of people call it the triple tax savings. Is you don't get taxed, like income tax on it.
That's true.
You don't have to pay taxes when you bring it home. It grows tax-free. And if you spend it on medical stuff, it's tax-free as well. You don't have to pay with taxes when it goes out. So you don't have to pay taxes when it goes in, taxes when it grows, or taxes when it comes out. So it definitely gets you around a lot of taxes, so it's nice.
I would say be careful. They're always changing what it qualifies, like what the money can you be used to qualify for. And if you use the money for something that doesn't qualify, yeah, that's not good.
20% fee.
I forgot what it was.
20% penalty, unless you're over 65. That's the nice part, is if you're over 65, you can spend it on whatever you want without a fee. You don't have that penalty, so that's nice. So it's kind of like a sneaky, like, IRA almost, if you overfund it. But it's one of those things to keep in mind, though. I mean, if you do have, say, someone in your family has, like, a chronic illness to where they're constantly going to the hospital or something like that, I mean, may not be the plan for you. But I mean, if you got a healthy family, especially if you're young, not expecting to have a kid or anything like that, any major medical things coming up in life, it's not a bad idea.
So a high deductible plan defined by the IRS is at least $1,350 for a single person and $2,700 for a family policy. So FYI. So, all right, shall we move on to our next? Let's go life insurance. There are a lot of life insurances out there. There's whole life, universal life, and then there's term life. I've been listening to Dave for a while. I wanted to play everyone a little clip from Dave about whole life insurance. He was arguing with a whole life insurance agent. I'm not allowed to play that over the air. So, if you ever get a chance, go look at it. But whole life or universal life comes, sometimes they're known as cash value policies. They're a lot more than a term life policy. you pay your premium, and then part of the money goes into a little savings for you that has a really bad rate of return.
Yeah, like zero in the first 3 years.
There's nothing. And so the amount of your premium increases as you get older, because it's based on a variable rate kind of thing. Because, like, you know, if you're 45, the chance of you dying at 46 is higher than at 45, so they raise your premium. But they don't change what you have to pay per month. They just start taking some of your savings and paying it until all your savings is dry, and then they come knock on your door and tell you, hey, we're raising your premium. If you don't pay, we can't cover you anymore. So Dave calls them horrible products. And after doing like my own research, I would kind of agree with that. Some people take loans out on their own money. They make larger life insurance payments, and then they take a loan out on the cash value, and then they pay it back, which makes no sense to me.
No.
Makes no sense. Dave calls him the payday lender of the middle class, which I can see that too. They're just not a good product. They just kind of rip people off, and you think you're getting a good deal. They're supposed to be for life, and then they might run out when you're like in your mid-70s. So, yeah, they're really bad products. So Dave recommends Term Life, and I agree with this. I like Term Life, which in the definition, term is for a specific term. So we're talking 10, 20, 30 years. And like we said last week, if you have that emergency fund and it's continually growing, at some point you will not need life insurance, because the idea of life insurance is to replace some income if one was to die. If one spouse was to die, it replaces that income. Once you have a fully funded emergency fund, your need for life insurance disappears, because you will be able to replace that income with your emergency fund, and you will no longer need life insurance. But when you're going through your journey and you're doing your emergency fund, your debt snowball, paying stuff off, you need life insurance, because per month you are dishing a lot of money out. Your emergency fund might not be up as high as it should be. Life insurance is, term life is very important to have. Dave recommends getting coverage that is 10 to 12 times your income. So once you get that emergency up to 10 to 12 times of your income, you shouldn't need life insurance anymore. And it is growing while it's just sitting there, not much. It's not just in a basic savings account, but still, you're growing that emergency fund over time. So once you get financially stable and are able to save money, you should be able to, your need for life and term life insurance disappears. So I've been talking a lot. You got anything to add, Jason?
No, it's good. I mean, and a lot of people kind of get confused to where they'll have the idea that life insurance is like your inheritance for your kids, and it's not. Life insurance is, like you said, to replace the income of someone when there's people depending on that income. It's not for your kids or your whoever to cash in on your death. So it's, I mean, it's insurance in case something happens to you. That way you take care of your family or whoever you leave behind.
Yep. If you're single, you'll need at least basic amounts of coverage to cover you if you know, for burial costs or any remaining debts. So the burden doesn't fall on your family. It doesn't fall back on your parents or something like that. So if you're single, get a basic amount, get a small amount. I don't believe it has to be 10 to 12 times your income, because you're not trying to replace your income. There's no need for you to try to replace your income. So just get a low amount of coverage that will cover burial expenses and any remaining debts that you have. And hopefully you're debt free. So that, you know, you just have to get enough to cover your burial expenses. So that should be pretty simple. But if you don't agree with me on the whole term life versus whole life, look up some videos on it, get on YouTube. And if you have whole life, check back into your policy. I would say pull that policy back out and read through it once or twice, and let me know if your cash value is actually guaranteed. A lot of people, when it comes after they die, their family does not get that cash value. Just kind of
cash value disappears when you die. You don't get the cash value. You get the face amount of the policy. They keep the cash value.
So But people, some say if the way you write it, you get the cash value. But every time I've heard, no one gets cash value. They only get the face value. And our whole life agents will argue that it's the way that's written. So I don't agree with that. So if you were promised your cash value, pull your policy back out and make sure. But I would suggest switching over to term life. Switch over, get enough to cover you, and call it good. Because term life does get it when you're young, though, because it does cost a lot when you get older. But you know, that's just because it's, you know, for a term, and as you get closer to
You get to dying, the better chance there is that
you're. I was trying to say that nice, but
there's no nice way to say
just
it.
Just rip it off.
Like rip the band-aid off. When you get old, you're closer to dying. All right. It's a probability thing.
We're running out of time here a little bit. Let's jump into our last point here on warranties, which I thought was kind of interesting. And a lot of, you can't walk into Best Buy without them offering you a warranty nowadays. They offer a warranty on about everything. Your phone case, your microwave, your sweeper, your TV. And I was watching a Day video last night. He said Best Buy doesn't make much money on the appliances. They make all their money on extended warranties. Dave recommends don't waste your money on insurances for phones, tablets, technology, etc. You can cover the cost of these items by just having an emergency fund. There isn't really much to say about warranties. They're kind of a garbage product, and companies just make money off of you for them. I don't even know if you really use them.
Yeah, and a lot of people get them and forget you have them and won't use it.
Yeah, so, yeah. Some people ask about fine jewelry and engagement rings. Jewelry can often be included in certain types of property and casualty policies like renter's insurance. So just check with your insurance agent. Some of this can be covered with those type of policies. So I wouldn't get an extended warranty on anything. Most of the time, and you're just kind of getting ripped off from it. It's not, you might not even use it. You might forget you have it. That 2 to 3 years or something. I don't know what it is. You have anything to add on warranties?
No, good. You covered it.
You got a quote of the day for us, Jason?
I do. Am I up for this?
Yeah.
All right.
Give it to us.
Yep. I had to get one. I try to relate to topic. This runs from Kim Hubbard. She said, "Fun is like life insurance. The older you get, the more it costs." So there's a little bit of humor for the day too in that one, but point out, older you get, more likely you are to die. It's depressing, but it's a fact of life.
So
death and taxes.
Get it young, pay off all your debt, get an emergency fund, so then you don't need it. That's what I'm gonna say on that.
Yep.
So our verse of the day comes from Proverbs 27:1. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. I'm kind of reusing that one because have insurance. You never know what may happen in the future. Kind of sucks paying insurance, you know, month to month and all these premiums, but yeah, you never know what may happen. So don't look too far ahead in life. You never know what God's plan is for you. God might want to give you a little bit of a challenge, see if you're prepared. So always be prepared, have insurance. So, Jason, do you have anything to add from our articles?
I think
we got time for a last minute article. I want to touch on this. It's kind of interesting.
I think you got about 30 seconds here.
I got 30 seconds. I'm gonna use the 30 seconds here quick. So, there, New York Times, I saw this article that there's a thermometer that tells you your temperature, but then tells a firm where to advertise. I thought this was kind of interesting. So, basically, it will read your temperature, and then it will give the information to a firm and be like, hey, you should advertise here, here, and here on these certain products.
Wow.
It's kind of interesting. It's kind of scary at the same time. It's called Kinza. Yeah. It says that their smart thermometer are in more than 500 American households. That is scary. So when you have a fever, they're just going to advertise health medicine to you on the spot.
Yeah, pretty much. You put in your symptoms, they figure out what you have, and they mark you products for what you have. Smart on their part.
I didn't get a chance to read it. Weird. I just saw the headline, thought it was interesting. But I'm pretty sure it just goes off of your temperature, which is really interesting. But it apparently has an app, too. So that's interesting. Kind of scary. Welcome to the world we live in now. Everything's connected. Kind of scary. I think this one thing's like an ear thing. I wonder if they can tell if you have an ear infection. Oh, that's scary stuff. Scary stuff out there. All right. Anything to add, Jason? I think we're out of time.
I think we are out of time.
So, anything to add? Any last minute thoughts?
I'm good here.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us on this new edition of Smart Money. And as always, remember to live smart.